Well, it is really good to be with you this morning. I had written down in my notes, good to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. And I did that because I was writing this yesterday when it was so nice. As I was driving down, I came all the way from Edmonton this morning and I went through rain the whole way and snow for good chunks of it as well. So yeah, spring in Alberta, that's really what you get, eh? But it is so good to be here with you, and Irv did a great job of introducing me. When I come to share with you, I am sharing on behalf of all of us as part of the Mennonite Church Alberta family. And I'm gonna start by sharing some highlights of Mennonite Church Alberta, our community of faith, some of the things that are happening within our family of faith together. As a faith community shaped by an Anabaptist Mennonite perspective, we are joined as individuals into congregations to become part of God's people, God's family. And as congregations, we join to become Mennonite Church Alberta. And as MCA, we join with other regions to become part of this nationwide community of faith. And then we are joined not only by our history and our structures and our relationships, but we are united by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. No matter what our background or culture, Christ unites us all with each other and beyond our denomination, with all who seek to place Jesus at the center of our lives. As Galatians tells us, there's no longer Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free. In Christ Jesus, we are one. Together, we are part of Christ's body, alive and at work in the world. And as Paul writes, our connection to each other means that when one suffers, we all suffer together. And we know there is much suffering in the world. You may have heard about Sudan in the news in recent months. There's a civil war that's been taking part there, and it's causing what's being described as the largest humanitarian crisis in the world today. That tragedy in North Sudan has reignited conflict in South Sudan. And there's a personal connection to many from the Edmonton South Sudanese Mennonite Church. Their pastor, Reuben, was there a picture? I was gonna say he's on the left, but okay. Can you move back one? Is there one before this? Uh-oh. This is the first picture that we have. Okay, well, you'll have to imagine Reuben. Some of you know him. He is the pastor of the South Sudanese Mennonite Church. He has shared at the Good Friday service in Edmonton. We had an inter-Mennonite service, much like you have here, where the churches from Edmonton came together. And Pastor Reuben, he's from the Nuer South Sudanese tribe. They have family back in South Sudan, and he shared on Good Friday how difficult it has been with the conflict that's there. It's really a time of lots of struggle with violence and even trying to find food and things like that. At the same service, Pastor Mizgebu, he's from the Oromo Church, from Ethiopia connection, and he shared about how in Ethiopia there's been a lot of violence that their church communities have been targeted in, and mentioned a number of pastors and congregations that have been targeted. And both Reuben and Mizgebu, they talked about the firm hope in Jesus that helps these communities when there are these kind of challenges. Now we can get to this picture here, and this is the Chin congregation that here in Calgary. And you may have also heard about the earthquake in Myanmar. So many of them are thinking about family members and the lack of information that they can receive about their condition and how things are working for them as well. There's been violence in Myanmar for the last 3 or 4 years, quite significantly. The earthquake itself caused thousands to lose their lives and 10,000s of structures to be destroyed. And on top of that, you have this political turmoil. When they talk about stories of what's been happening the last 3 or 4 years, it reminds me a lot of stories my grandparents told before they came to Canada. They were in the Ukraine and had starvation and roaming bandits and things like that. And there's so many echoes to what the Chin people are experiencing. So when we think about being part of a body together, we suffer with those who suffer, and we pray deeply for each other in these times. Our connection also means that when we have the opportunity to rejoice, that we can rejoice with each other. When one rejoices, we all share in the celebration together. In the Edmonton South Sudanese Church, there is rejoicing as well. And part of that comes from the way that we're able to support each other as a broader church family. In January, a generous gift was given to Pastor Ruben and to his family. They'd been without a car for many months, in fact. They have a large family. It was hard for them to get around. They work nights cleaning in large department stores like Canadian Tires and those kind of places. And one night they walked 3 hours home because they were doing work after bus service was done, and they couldn't get an Uber or anything, and just couldn't get home otherwise. And so there was a gift given. Word went out through the MCA community, and a gift was given so they could purchase a car. Not only did it help their family, but it was also celebrated by the whole church community. Ruben and his wife Martha have spent much of their time ensuring people without transportation could get to church. So they had used their vehicle as a taxi service to get people in, and the community had really been missing that. So this gift was something to pray for together. I visited the church when they had just received this gift and was offering a blessing, and everyone who came up to me just said it was such a gift to their whole church that this was given. The South Sudanese Mennonite Church also has shared their deep passion for growing the Mennonite Church in their home country and among their people there. I talked about the violence in South Sudan, and they have this firm commitment to peace through Jesus Christ, peace through what Christ can bring as peace, not through the violence and other ways in which we try to solve these problems. So there has been a number of churches that have joined and become Mennonite in South Sudan because of their sharing of this commitment. And the problem is they don't have leadership. There's 7 congregations, I think only 1 or 2 pastors among them. And so the South Sudanese Church is working with MCA to train 2 of their people to be pastors in South Sudan. So we're helping fund them to go to the Misereta Cristo Seminary so they can learn theological training and become leaders in the Mennonite Church in South Sudan. I think that if you move to the next picture, you can see a picture of the students. Maybe not. I think I maybe missed that picture. So we're on to the next one. looks like we have some of these that are getting blacked out on us, but you can, again, use imaginations for that. One story I want to share about some of the ways that our churches here in Alberta connect together is through our different cultural expressions of music and of faith. A year ago, our annual meeting was held in Edmonton. And on the Saturday evening, once the meetings were done, we had this incredible concert, which brought together different choirs and musical groups from the different churches. There was a group there from the Oromo family. This is the Oromo singing group. There was a group from the South Sudanese Church. There was a group from Liberia that one of the churches has a large Liberian component to it. And there was a black gospel choir that was friends with the people there. And then there was also a choir from the Swiss Mennonite background, from First Mennonite background, actually. So all these choirs came together. It was quite the evening. It started off with this really strong energy. The guy who was leading worship, he called it a worship service, not a concert. This is a worship service, a worship experience is what he said. And he had been a DJ back in Liberia, so he kind of had that presence about him. He got people riled up, and they were giving lots of amens and hallelujahs, and the choirs were going up, and there was like all this energy and drums and rhythm. And then it was the First Mennonite Choir, their turn. And they told me afterwards, they're feeling quite self-conscious about this. As the evening was going on, they're going, how's this going to be received? Like, we're doing something completely different. So when they walked up, the choir director, he turned to the congregation and even said, and now for something completely different. And they went into the hymn, oh, let all who thirst, let them come to the water. And people listened raptly to this song. And as the notes came to an end, there was an eruption of amens, hallelujah. And they said they felt so affirmed in that moment that there was all this energy for what they brought, that their gift was received in such a generous way. What's even more fascinating is that last night they had a follow-up concert, and many of these choirs got together, this Black Gospel Choir, and they had invited 7 or 8 other groups from around the city that all had this real vibrant and rhythmic and Pentecostal kind of style, shouting out all the time. And they also invited First Mennonite to come back. Hey, you guys got to come back. And so First Mennonite, they were singing some little mass, like a Latin mass kind of piece, and they got the same reaction again. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. There's so many ways that we are connected to each other, and I wanted to highlight a key one that's taking place this summer. I don't know if you've got that. This is from last night, so you can see there are two itinerations of that same choir, and they both had that same reception of just energy and fascinating affirmation. So the looks like half our pictures are kind of just all missing. I don't know what happened there, but I'll just highlight that this summer is a gathering of our nationwide community, and it's focusing on the intercultural aspect of the church. It's asking ourselves, how do we engage well with each other? How do we celebrate what each contributes and really rejoice in how this all makes us a stronger body together when we think about being the church together? I know there's a few from your congregation going. It'll be a really great experience. To me, the way that we are joined together as the MCA family of faith, the ways that we connect and stories where we see God's Spirit at work offer glimpses of Christ's presence, alive and at work in the world. Sometimes these glimpses are obvious and spectacular. There are stories that echo the power of Easter, that sense of just amazing risen Christ, the life-giving transformation that we know is possible through God's Spirit. Yet sometimes the signs are more subtle. You have to really pay attention to even notice that they are there. It's like when my wife, Danae, and I go hiking in the mountains together. As we walk along the trails, I'm focused on the mountain peaks. That's where I get inspiration. I see God's presence in these rocky crags and the glaciers. I'm always trying to get up high, up somewhere, so I can get this beautiful viewpoint. So that's where I find joy. That's where I see God's presence. I'm happiest when I'm above the tree line and look in wonder from these spectacular views where nothing gets in the way. And while I see God's presence in the beautiful peaks and valleys, Danita tends to look down as we walk. She's more focused on the tiny plants and the flowers that she sees along the pathway. So if you just move on to the next, yeah, here we go, on the pathway. While Danita can appreciate the broad mountain views and tolerates them, when I point them out, I say, oh, look, another mountain, look, another mountain. She goes, yeah, yeah, Tim, that's great. But she notices the small things along the trail, and things that I tend to miss. And while these little plants and flowers may not seem as majestic to me, they are no less spectacular when you stop for a moment and pay attention to them. A key example are the mushrooms that she notices along the trail or pretty much anywhere we walk. She's fascinated. She's obsessed with mushrooms, in fact. She's read guidebooks and is always looking to discover some new or amazing variety. What's funny is that before Danita started to draw my attention to them, I really hadn't noticed mushrooms before. I could walk for an hour and wouldn't see any. Once she started talking, then all of a sudden I'm seeing them everywhere. I see them on walks. I see them when we're camping. I see them when she's not even anywhere near me. It's like, oh, there's a picture. I have to take a picture for Danita. They can even pop up in our backyard. I've also noticed that this fascination with mushrooms is infectious. Every year, Danita leads a mushroom walk at our church retreat out at Camp Alacqua. And every year, this whole group of people show up and they get excited to go around with her and discover some new fascinating fungal. Through Danita's obsession with mushrooms, I've learned that there really are an endless variety out there. And you can see that from the pictures as they scroll by. There's a lot of different variety. Some are big, some are tiny, some are good to eat, and some are deadly poisonous. Knowing which is which takes careful discernment and the wisdom of guidebooks and the experience of others to help us learn what is which is which. And the mushroom itself, it's only a small part of what's going on. We've got this whole network of mycelium that is below the ground, something you don't see. And what you actually see in the mushroom is like this, it's like the fruit, the piece that comes and emerges from all that's going on underground. And all this grows from tiny spores that are no bigger than a speck of dust. They blow around in the wind until they find that right spot, the right conditions to grow. In the end, it's surprising where they'll pop up. Danita searched all over one summer for this bizarre mushroom called the bird's nest fungi. From this picture, you can probably guess why it's called a bird's nest mushroom. So we looked in forests, we looked at Camp Alacqua, we looked in parks, and finally she found this little cluster of them, and guess where she found it? On a garden stake in our backyard. Mountains are often used as images to illustrate the majesty of God. We don't usually think about mushrooms the same way. I did a little online search and I just searched God's power and majesty, and this page came up and almost all of them were like mountains and that kind of thing. There weren't any of mushrooms in there. When we think about God's presence, we tend to think about the big things that are obvious and huge and just can't be missed. But I've spent a fair bit of time talking about mushrooms because I think they are also a powerful analogy of the presence of God. Like mushrooms, God's presence comes to us in many different ways, in a variety of shapes and forms. God's presence can pop up where we least expect it, and appear in ways that we had never felt possible or imagined. It may take careful discernment to truly recognize what we have found. We need to learn from guidebooks, from the experience of others, and collective spiritual insight. When others point out what they have found, we may suddenly see something that we had totally missed before. The sense of wonder and excitement can be infectious as we share our experiences and discoveries with each other. And while at times the movement of God's Spirit is crystal clear, like a mountaintop, sometimes that presence is hidden. It may be lingering under the surface, lying dormant, waiting for the right conditions to grow. When signs of God's presence do emerge, we may miss them completely unless we're looking for them, paying attention, and listening to others for what they have seen and heard. Or we can sometimes search all over and then just find it growing in our own backyard. The call to pay attention comes through loud and clear in the first scripture passage that was read for us this morning from Mark chapter 13. As followers of Jesus, this scripture commands us to watch, to wait, to be alert. God's presence is breaking into our world in amazing ways. We need to be ready so that we recognize God's healing and hope when it comes. Now, when we move to the next slide, we'll see the first words from our passage. And when we read this part, we may not be thinking about hope or Christ's presence. That might not be the first thing that comes to mind. We talk about this, the passage talks about this darkened sun, a moon that has disappeared, and stars that are falling from heaven. And when we think about the world right now, these words seem to highlight the many things that are wrong. We know that there are a lot of people for whom it may seem like the sun and the moon are darkened, where the sky is falling, perhaps, where the very powers of heaven seem shaken. I shared some examples of this kind of thing earlier when we talked about South Sudan or Ethiopia and Myanmar, and we can probably think of other places around the world too. This morning, we may also be thinking about our own country and the senseless tragedy. If you've heard the story in the news this morning about the vehicle that drove into a crowd in Vancouver, and 9 people were killed and many injured. In the midst of suffering, of violence and conflict, senseless tragedies like this, or we may even think about some of the division, the polarization of our time, we may long for God to enter our world in powerful and dramatic ways. Indeed, as we go on in our passage, Jesus makes this promise: "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." But in the next section of our passage, Jesus does a curious thing. He tells a parable that points to something far less dramatic. He says, "Learn this parable from the fig tree. After its branch becomes tender and it sprouts new leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that the Son of Man is near." This certainly sounds a lot less dramatic than this image of Christ coming down from the sky. It speaks to something much more subtle that emerges slowly, or maybe easy to miss. With this parable, Jesus points out that God's presence often enters in ways that we don't expect, in ways that may catch us off guard, or that we may not even notice if we aren't looking for them. Like new sprouts from a fig tree, we may see signs of God's presence emerging in small, tiny ways, heralding that the summer is coming for those who are paying attention. I wanted to share a few examples of such moments for me, where I have experienced some aspects of God's presence, things that stir my heart when there is joy of new life, or joy in the connections that we share, or deep meaning when we can hold each other when we need comfort, or in seeing God at work in some other unexpected way, perhaps. I think the fig tree is a great example for this time of year. The signs of spring are all around us, and I went out to my backyard yesterday and took these pictures. The ways that buds emerge and plants grow is such an amazing testimony to the God of all creation. To think there's so much potential in a little bud as it just sits there looking like nothing for so many months and then just emerging like that, and what will grow from that. Or in little green shoots, how they come through the ground and suddenly appear, and then you know where they're going to have a flower bloom or some other aspect. Of course, I have to share about our new granddaughter, Iris. She's 9 months old today. Today's her 9-month birthday. And of course, is amazing. Every time we see her, she's getting bigger. She's doing something now that she couldn't do before. It's neat to see how she's developing and growing, how she responds, has a great smile, and is getting to have a good laugh as well. We certainly see God's presence in Iris, the joy that she brings that to her parents and to her grandparents and to great-grandparents. I don't know who's cuter in this picture, Iris or my parents. I've also experienced such moments of joy in settings where we might not expect them. Tanita and I went to a concert on Good Friday. The singer, his name is Martin Kerr. He's from Edmonton. He reminds me a lot of Bruce Coburn. He's kind of got that same musical kind of style. It has a social justice passion that he brings out in his music. One of his most popular songs has this line: "I'm not bad myself, but you're amazing." And it's funny because he was singing this song, and as he's going through, he asked the audience to sing along with the chorus. And so, of course, we're all singing this line: "I'm not bad myself, but you're amazing." And so Danny and I look at each other as we sing this over and over, smiling at each other, meeting each other's eyes. But then Kerr told us, like, "Now sing it to someone else you haven't sung before, the person on your other side." And so I, okay, turn to this couple on my right, and the woman looks at me, and we sing this to each other. And it's, you can't help but smile when someone's singing that to you. And he says, "Sing it to somebody else." I turn around, and the guy behind me, he's by himself. But as he looks at me and we sing this together, there's this twinkle in his eye, and it's just like, just an amazing moment. And it's just neat to see how someone can bring out this sense of community in a service where he's looking to build some good. Just a neat moment of connection in a concert hall full of strangers, affirming each other in just some small way. As you've heard me share earlier, I've seen God's presence in my work with churches in some amazing ways. One particular powerful example took place last summer in Edmonton, and amazing how this kind of intercultural, interchurch experience evolved. The Bethel Oromo Church had 5 young people that were wanting to be baptized. And so they called up Holyrood Church and said, hey, we'd like to use your baptismal tank. And Holyrood said, well, we don't actually have a baptismal tank, but we can work something out, I'm sure. And so they had got a large kind of tub thing there that hoped to get a whole little swimming pool, but this is the end of August. They're all sold out. So they got something that they thought, okay, well, they can at least get wet in this. And they decided they'd plan a worship service together. Like Holyrood and Bethel would come together and they would be part of this worship time, and then there'd be this baptism. And they invited me to come as part of Mennonite Church Alberta to represent the broader church. They invited a few from First Mennonite as well, and we all gathered to have this baptism service. Well, we came, and it became evident right away that this basin that they had for this baptism wasn't big enough to really get totally submerged. And so it really wasn't what the Bethel people were hoping for. And as we sat there wondering, okay, what can we do now? Well, someone piped up, well, you know, the river in Edmonton, North Saskatchewan, isn't too far away. We could just go there. So we said, well, why not? So we drove us 5 minutes to the North Saskatchewan River. It was a beautiful day, sunny, warm. So we thought, okay, here we go. They had me come and assist, and I wasn't sure what I was going to get. Well, okay, here we go. But went in and had this amazing baptism service together just upstream from the sewage treatment plant. It was a good thing we were upstream of that, but it was a beautiful spot and just a great experience to enjoy that together. And when I looked back at the bank of the river, this is kind of what I saw, this whole group of community that had joined along and were all kind of singing songs and just enjoying what had brought us there as Bethel Church, as Holyrood, as MCA, as some from First Mennonite. It was just a neat way to be part of this significant milestone of faith together. Sharing how we have seen God in our lives is an important witness to God's presence. It's a message that's summarized in the first verses of that passage that we read from 1 John chapter 1. It begins, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." Sharing about Christ's presence begins with noticing the signs of that presence all around us. We're called to open ourselves to that presence, to seek it and search for it, to wait for it with active anticipation. We're called to seek it no matter where it may pop up. And we are called to share what we have seen and where we experience Christ's healing and hope, to tell each other and those around us what we have seen and heard. Christ's presence is all around us, like little spores of mushrooms, little spores that are looking for that right opportunity to emerge in the surface and to grow. Things are happening below that surface that we may not see right away, that we may not recognize, and that fruit of that kingdom may be popping up sometimes where we may least expect it, in unique ways, in ways that are just amazing to behold may emerge in the most unlikely spot, just waiting for us to notice and celebrate them together. I pray that it may be so as we live our lives and are part of God's people together. Amen.